Save on O'Reilly Brake Parts Cleaner. Get two cans of O'Reilly Brake Parts Cleaner for just $8. Valid in-store only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Bell, man, how you doing tonight?
I am doing fantastic, my friend. How about yourself?
You know, I'm doing really, really well. Happy Halloween to you, Bell.
Absolutely. Happy Halloween to yourself.
Yeah, of course, as we record the show on Wednesday night, it is the week of Halloween. It has come and gone. I got to ask you, man, did you go trick-or-treating? What costume did you wear? I mean, I know everybody was really wondering, did Bell ring that Grodd and go as Gorilla Grodd for Halloween?
Okay, so downtown, I went as my monk costume. But for my Spooky Sunday costume edition, I went as Gorilla Grodd, and I wore my gorilla costume. And my dog, Corgan Dallas, was very perplexed. I tweeted a photo out of me holding him, and he's like looking at me with his ears kind of like, you know, down, and he's like, "What is going on,
dude?" But I totally missed this. This is on Twitter.
This is on Twitter. Yeah,
what's up now? Did you trick or treat? I guess in your, you know, I've been to your apartment complex or your condominium area. What do you call the building that you're in?
The area is called the Domain.
Yeah, the Domain. It's a bunch of like techie hipsters. I mean, there's not a ton of kids running around, so you probably didn't have much trick-or-treaters.
No, I had no one come by, thankfully.
Man, no, dude, trick-or-treaters are fun, dude.
It's great, but like, there, I mean, in an apartment like mine where you like walk down the hallway, I don't know, it's just not. When I was living in a house in North Austin, it was a lot better. We had all sorts of kids, and that was sort of like, it was super fun, but I wasn't prepared mainly, which is why I was glad nobody came. I bought a bunch of candy for my Spooky Sunday stuff and proceeded to eat it all before there were any trick-or-treaters coming by. So there's that.
Look at you. Okay. I got your picture up and rolling. Poor Corgan.
I know. I love that photo of him.
He's like, "Rescue me, Barry. Where are you? Anyone? Caitlin, please kill him. Kill him. Kill it." Oh man,
like that's somebody, right?
That's great, man. Well, good. Good for you. That's good for you. You rocking that Gorilla Grodd costume. For me, man, we had a great time. The whole family went as superheroes, so we had kind of a superhero family. We had a little Batgirl and a little Spider Girl. My wife went as Wonder Woman, and I went as the Flash. And here's my thing. I was kind of going back and forth because there was some debate. Some people in the family wanted me to go Batman. The other people wanted me to go Flash. Obviously, you know, daddy's vote counts as two because I don't have a Batman costume and I've got a Flash costume. So that also is part of it. But I don't really have a Flash costume. I got my Flash shirt. And so this is what I did. I wore my Flash shirt, and it's the classic, you know, yellow lightning over white logo. And it's not the TV logo. It's the classic comics logo. Well, so here's the deal. I wear that shirt. And I think, you know what, I'm going to wear my Jay Garrick helmet as well. I love it. You know, if you've seen my Facebook profile picture, it's me rocking that Jay Garrick helmet. I love it. I love to wear it every single chance I get. Whenever we're at work, whenever we have a new product launch, I always put on the Jay Garrick helmet and wave my lightsaber around because I, like Barry Allen, I know we'll get into this episode, but I've always wanted to be a Jedi. So here's the thing. I rock my Flash shirt and my Jay Garrick helmet, and I'm thinking, okay, people are going to call me out. They're going to be like, "Oh, that's Jay's helmet, but Barry's logo." You know, because I'm thinking the Flash is in the zeitgeist. Bell, do you know I had three separate people think that I was Zoom because of the helmet?
Well, technically, it was Zoom's helmet.
In the television show. All right, this reopened a wound that was almost healed from season two. Now, we have talked on this podcast in this season how I have been going through the five stages of grief, which was how the story of Jay Garrick was handled in season two. Going as Jay Garrick, or at least wearing his helmet on Halloween and having everybody associate that with a supervillain, like, it reopened the wound, and I am back at it, man. Don't get me wrong, because I love this show, but this is a big, big fail on the series part in terms of what they have done to the character of Jay Garrick in the general zeitgeist, or like the public's understanding of that character. We're talking a golden age classic hero, the original, the OG Flash. He was the Superman of his day and age in terms of a leadership role of the superheroes. And this is a classic character who is now associated by the average Joe on the street as a freaking supervillain. And so I got to tell you, man, net fail. The wound is open and I'm not letting it heal this time, because that really irritated me that, like, so many people recognize the helmet, A, which was great, except B, they recognized it as the helmet of a villain. And it really just irked me off, man. That was – it made for a rough Halloween.
They should be calling you Zoom, though. They should be calling you Jay Garrick. And then they should clarify at that point, oh, Jay Garrick, nice. Are you the comic Jay Garrick or are you the Zoom Jay Garrick?
No, see, this is what happened. I said that. I said, you mean, you know, I was like, no, it was Jay Garrick. And like, yeah, but he was actually Zoom, right? He was Hunter Zolomon. I was like, well yeah, yeah. Like, I was like, but
how many fights did you get into? That's what I want to know. Like, just like ball your fist and just like start shaking and then you just like jump on them like Ralphie from A Christmas Story. Like, you're friggin', you know.
It's a little bit like that. It's a little bit like the first one. I tried painstakingly to go through and explain exactly why the helmet even in the show. I was like, no, but see, it goes back to their Jay Garrick, who is from a different Earth, who inspired the Jay Garrick of, you know, Hunter Zolomon to be Jay Garrick on Earth 2. And so, you know, even though they're like, yeah, but it was still his helmet, right? And I was like, but not in the comics. Ah, it was so bad. It was just so bad. And so after the first one, I, you know, the second one said like, oh, you know, the reverse Zoom guy, right? And I'm like, no, not him, but whatever. And then the third person said something and I just let it roll off. I didn't even try to engage or educate at that point. I was just like, net fail. You know, I weep for how Jay Garrick is now understood in terms of just like popularity or popular opinion. And who knows, maybe the movies will get an opportunity to retell the story of Jay Garrick and appropriately put that helmet back on the head of a hero. And I know that the series has done that, and they're doing that with John Wesley Shipp, our man, Red and Yellow, Red and Yellow. We're all about that. But in terms of the general understanding of what has happened to that character and tying that origin story, I even said at the time, like, putting the helmet on Earth 3 Jay Garrick does not redeem the fact that it came from his abusive, murderous father. Like, that's still they tied a really dark and negative legacy to that helmet, something that is so iconic to the legacy and the family and the history of the Flash. Is just it's still dirty and it's just really, really rough. But anyway, that's a lot to get out of the, like, that has nothing to do with this week's episode. It just happened because it's Halloween's here. And, you know, I walked a mile in Jay Garrick's helmet and everybody thought I was Zoom. So, like I said, reopen that wound. I'm sorry. We talk about The Flash because we love it. We love the series and everything else. And I mean, you know, I'm not saying, like, you know, the series is terrible. And it's not even that I'm necessarily criticizing that storyline from the aspect of just telling a story on television and whether or not it was good. But man, oh man, in terms of like the source material, I mean, that's where our love for the show comes, right? Our love for the show comes from our love of the source material.
It's character assassination.
Well, it's
kind of.
I don't know if assassination is the right word or not, but it was rough. But anyway, season 2 is come and gone. It is what it is. Somebody fix Jay Garrick, please. And in the public eye, in the mindset of the common man. And, you know, maybe that means more John Wesley Shipp in season 3 to really kind of affirm that he is their version of Jay Garrick. And maybe, I don't know, retcon something about that daggum helmet. But man, oh man, that was rough for me. That was rough. All right. That's out of the way, man. We got a brand new episode and a brand new season. So season 2 is in the past. Let's talk about the present in this week's rundown.
The rundown.
Episode 5 of season 3, Monster, directed by C. Kim Miles and story by
Zach Stentz.
Belle, what happened this episode?
Well, without informing the others, Caitlin visits her estranged mother at her medical research company to have her powers examined. Meanwhile, a gigantic creature is seen on the streets of Central City, but it disappears before Barry can confront it. Cisco grows suspicious of the newly recruited H.R. Wells when he does not provide much help in battling the monster. Caitlin viciously attacks another scientist with her powers when he plans to use her for his own purposes. Her mother manages to talk her down and allows her to leave. The monster is revealed to be an elaborate hologram operated by a 15-year-old boy wanting to spread fear in other people. Barry exposes the deception in time to keep police snipers from harming the civilians, and he prevents Julian from shooting the boy, whom he mistakes for a metahuman. During the crisis, HR is shown to have no technical knowledge at all. He finally admits that he is only an idea man for his tech company on his Earth, and he joined the Flash team simply to get material for a novel. The team decides to give him a chance to prove his worth as an assistant. Caitlin is informed by her mother that her powers are increasing and that she needs to stop using them or her condition will become irreversible.
Man, we got monsters and supervillains in this episode. We got a lot of stuff going on. Despite some of the criticism that perhaps this was a little bit of the slower episodes from this season, let's start off by talking about H.R. Wells. Does H.R. short for Harrison, or are we to assume that perhaps his middle name is like starts with an R?
No, it's got to be a play on words, a reference to H.G. Wells, because we never really did the H. I mean, we did it. We did the H.G. Wells thing on our podcast, but the show never really made the connection between H.G. Wells and like, you know, H.G. Wells. So I think this is like the H.R. because he's a writer and H.G. Wells was a writer and H.R. Wells, like he's going specifically by that moniker, I think, as a nod to the author.
Okay, all right. So that would make some sense. But again, our thought behind H.G. Wells is, you know, I think we even threw out perhaps his name was George, you know, or something of that nature. I mean, are we talking to Harrison Rodriguez? I can't roll my R's.
Rodriguez.
Harrison Rodriguez Wells. Is that who we're dealing with here?
I'm thinking more like Harrison Randolph Wells.
Randy Wells?
Yeah, Randy Wells.
For our British audience is going to interpret that in an inappropriate way. but no, all right. So we are presented with HR. I actually like HR as an abbreviation for this, or at least a nomenclature for this particular Harrison Wells. We dubbed him Hipster Wells last episode because we were kind of getting that he had a hipster vibe going on. He was funny. He was making jokes. Everybody seemed to like him. But then you spent, I guess, 5 minutes with him to determine, yeah, we don't like this guy so much.
Yeah, but that makes him even more of a hipster because he's writing a novel. He's kind of a pain in the butt. I mean, like, all that did was just solidify the hipster thing for me.
Fair point. Let me ask you this. Did you ever think that he was evil or had some sort of nefarious plot?
No. I was sitting there, you know, the way they teased it was like, this is going to be another thing. And I'm like, there's no way that's got to be a red herring. They're not going to go that route again because like, there's no way this dude's Dr. Alchemy either. I mean, I don't see how they're going to tie that into a big villain thing. This is just going to be some kind of, cause the guy was quirky and weird and stuff. And it would just be, I don't know. It felt like it would have been old hat, you know? So they're going to go a different route. And I didn't feel like he was going to be this nefarious evil guy, but there was going to be something up about him, and him being a fraud, I think was a good route for them to go. But I didn't think he'd be evil. No.
Okay, but was all right. So they said he was a fraud and such. But here's the thing: was he really a fraud? Like he goes in there and he immediately starts doing that like team building exercise, right? Like that whole, you know, pseudo marketing teamwork kind of. You know, companies will hire teams like that to come in and try to build teamwork and collaboration amongst their staff. And it's a bunch of people that, you know, they're just playing a bunch of games with everybody. And that seems
it's a bunch of garbage is what it is.
Well, I mean, look, I've been to some of those seminars before and I've gotten a lot out of them from time to time. But at the same time, I recognize that it doesn't necessarily take, you know, a PhD to put one of those together or to, you know, manage or operate it. That being said, we cannot miss one of his most valuable assets that he brought to the table, and that was bagel and lox. When I saw that platter, my friend, oh man, I had to stop what I was doing. I'm serious, dude. I love me some bagel and lox. And like, I've said this before, but this version of Harrison Wells, HR, reminds me a lot of Tom Cavanaugh on his own podcast, which is Mates, Mates, which is Mike and Tom Eat Snacks. And they do an entire episode dedicated to bagel and lox. And I thought, oh my gosh, please say mates. I thought maybe they might be writing that in, but
he'd be like, come on, mates, let's have some bagel and lox.
I thought he might say something like that or something to the extent of like, you know, you need your snacks or something. But no, that is a valuable thing, man, that you need somebody to bring the snacks. And on top of that, like, again, was he a fraud? If he yes. did, well, hang on. If he if he did start Star Labs, if he was literally the idea guy in the visionary, if he was the Steve Jobs, was Steve Jobs a fraud?
No. Okay, so here's the thing. Idea men are useless. If all you can do is I could come up with ideas every day, but if you can't implement your idea, then, I mean, it's useless. Like, you know, you've met people who are like, oh, well, I came up with that idea 5 years ago, but you didn't do it.
No, but he did. But what I'm saying is, like, the idea guys and the guys like HR, like, what they do, the way that they implement is that they find the people that can actually do it and make it happen. Like, you
need, you're not an idea guy.
Well, but obviously neither. He's not just an idea guy. I think we are to assume that he did, in fact, start Star Labs. But his partner, who, by the way, is nameless, we'll talk about that later, did actually implement whatever it was.
Because what comes to mind to me is like something like a silent partner, where it's like, I have the talent, but I don't want to run a business. I don't want to do any of the stuff. I just want to, like, you know, build whatever that I need to build, right? That's what it comes to me as. And he's just like, okay, because, you know, like Family Guy references this when they talk about Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. We're like, you know, Matt Damon's Matt Damon. He's writing Good Will Hunting and he's asking Ben Affleck for input. And Ben Affleck's sitting there on the couch smoking pot. And he's like, yeah, you know, that's the idea that I get, right? There's somebody who's putting in all the work, and it's easy just to throw ideas out there. Now, it's another thing entirely to go and you have an idea and to find people to implement said idea. But I don't believe HR when he says that he's the guy that does that. I think he's just, you know, if I had to guess, I would think that he saw his buddy or whatever, somebody at Star Labs, find that message. And then he's like, oh, I'm going to like totally steal this. And just hopped in there maybe before the other guy could do it. I don't know.
Possibly, but I get the feeling that he's being more truthful. Like once he breaks down, you know, I feel like this episode was to get the can we trust Harrison Wells storyline out of the way so that when he does break down, I do believe what we get is what we get. And all I'm saying, man, is that, you know, every Steve Jobs has his Wozniak. Now, granted, there is a general uselessness to the ideas that this Harrison Wells is even presenting. So I'm not necessarily saying he is any Steve Jobs, but back on his Earth, perhaps he was something of that nature. But, you know, we will learn more of, you know, his origins in the future, which may tie into some speculation down the road. Man, we got some great stuff in this episode with the first ever Flash going up against a quote unquote true monster. You know, we've seen him go up against King Shark, Gorilla Grodd. You know, there have been some beastly villains in the past, but nothing like a 10-story alien alternate dimension looking creature that was tearing apart the city, or so it seemed.
Yeah, this is the first, you know, Godzilla-style monster. Because there's like, the Wolfman's a monster, but he's a man that turns into a
right,
wolf.
Right, right, right.
Technically, yeah, yeah. But he's not, you know, King Kong or, you know, Godzilla or something like that. Like, yeah. Or the Cloverfield monster, which is what this monster really reminded me of, was a Cloverfield monster. With the minus the weird lice parasite.
Yeah,
things.
They were flying off and attacking. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, this is the first time that, because the Flash has fought monsters like that in the comics before, right?
You know, nothing comes to mind. Like, I feel like this was, and I could be wrong here, but I think this was entirely their own creation in terms of like the look, the feel, the overall. I mean, you know, given what we know, or at least have heard in terms of aliens playing a role down the line in kind of the DC TV universe. You know, I thought going into this that perhaps this was going to allude to something that was going to come down the road. But overall, no, I did not recognize that design as being anything from the comics at all.
No. I'm not saying that the design from the monster is from the comics. I'm saying the Flash has fought giant monsters in the past before, right?
Just nothing comes to mind. I mean, Starro, you could argue that Starro is technically a giant monster. It's a giant starfish. I mean, if Mothra counts as a monster, and it's just a giant moth, then I think Starro definitely counts as a monster.
And I might be just, you know, putting my own biases as far as like superheroes go, because, you know, most superheroes have fought giant monsters at some point in their career. And I don't know if Flash is the same or not. But it did feel kind of unique, because there's always these when you have these kind of shows, it's always like people and, you know, there's something wrong with them, or they're mutated, or they're, you know, metahumans or something like that. But yeah, this was the first time we've seen just a giant monster, like a real monster. And so I just assumed he had fought giant monsters in the comics before, but I don't know. Yeah, it was pretty neat to see that.
Well, and all right, so when the thing first appeared, you know, there was a general look on Barry's face, like too big.
Classic. Yeah.
And you know, even when they're trying to work this out, this kind of goes back into HR. The previous Harrison Wells and Sisko's have had a kind of shorthand. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, they really have. They finish each other's sentences. It's really cute.
It is. It is. I mean, like, you know, Eobard as Harrison Wells grew up, so to speak, with Sisko. He was like a father figure in his life, right? So that was kind of this established relationship that they had. And then the new Harrison Wells, it took some time, but they connected on an intellectual level, if nothing else. And I think right. like that eventually grew into a similar relationship there. This one, we don't have kind of the historic backstory between him and Sisko, nor are they able to connect on an intellectual level. Do you think that HR is sticking around?
Yes, because Tom Cavanaugh is too great to throw away.
That is not what I asked.
Sorry. Let me clarify. HR will be around. I don't know. I feel like HR will be around at least a couple more episodes until they find out either A, his ultimate uselessness, or something else happens. But I think we're going to have, you know, we're always going to have Tom Cavanaugh being some kind of role there. But it's going to take a lot for HR to prove himself to this team. And it doesn't seem to me like he's got what it takes, because all the ideas that he, you know, tries to, as he says, incept into people are just they're you know, he's just kind of stating the obvious almost. Or he's just like saying something, oh, on my Earth, we make ropes out of carbon fiber. And so it's like, oh, cool, I'll make a rope and we'll tie him up. Yeah, let's do that. That was my idea. And it's like, no, you just said you had ropes on your Earth that are made out of carbon fiber. Like that ultimately in and of itself is useless without a plan to implement it.
Yeah, I mean, like, aside from just his great snack bringing skills, there's really not a whole lot that he brings to the table. So I'm gonna put out a wild theory. All right, well, and it's gonna need some clarification from someone who has been religiously watching Legends of Tomorrow, like yourself, sir. And this will be a little bit of spoilers for Legends if you've been watching it or haven't been watching it or don't care. But
which you should be. It's fun. And listen to my podcast, Legends TV Talk.
Legends TV Talk, regularly happening on a weekly basis now with a consistent cast. So you need to check that out.
That is true.
But here's the thing. All right. So with Legends, I mean, Eobard is currently like jamming on Legends, right?
Yes. He is making plays. And we don't really know why.
But we are to assume, or has it been confirmed, that that is the Eobard that we last saw on The Flash, that dropped off Barry in the present and then like skedaddled out of there off the porch?
Nothing's been confirmed, but I believe it is the case. It seems to me like this Eobard that left Barry on the porch for some reason is not as consumed with Barry. Unless everything that he's doing on Legends will ultimately tie into Barry and tie into him trying to do something to the Flash. But as of yet, we don't know what his plan is. He's stealing artifacts and killing members of the JSA and stuff like that. Sorry, spoilers.
Oh, snap. Dude, I haven't. No, hang on now. Don't get that spoilery. I mean, at some point. I am going to watch. Right now I'm going through a whole Smallville marathon. It's a whole thing. So like, you know. Everything else is on hold, but at some point I do plan on watching the season. So don't tell me who dies.
I won't tell you who it is, but yes, he does kill one of the members of the JSA.
Why would you even say that?
I said that earlier.
Maybe nobody heard the first time. If you repeat it, makes it true. That's the problem. No, it's okay. All right. So here's the thing. If we can assume then that the Eobard that is rolling around on Legends is in fact the one from the porch, we can also assume that Eobard will end up, when that story is done, back in the past and get abandoned there to go and become, you know, a version of Harrison Wells that will be the memories that this Sisko has of this, you know, post Flashpoint timeline, right? You following me?
That's my guess, is that at the end of this season, they're going to defeat, you know, the Legion of Doom, and this Eobard that we've seen in Legends, the one that dropped Barry off on his porch, is going to be the one that's going to wind up back in time, stuck there.
All right. So here's the thing. I know I threw this out last season in terms of the Zoom thing, but maybe there's still an avenue for this Harrison Wells, this HR, to be a vessel through which the spirit, the ghost of Eobard Thawne.
No.
Shush. Don't you naysay me. I'm just saying. I want I want my Tom Cavanaugh as Eobard Thawne back. And here we have a Harrison Wells who is borderline useless, except he is a body and he is Tom Cavanaugh. And somewhere out there in the Negative Speed Force, there exists, and I still hang on to this, I believe that somewhere out there, the ghost or what have you of that Eobard Thawne, of season one Eobard Thawne, exists. And he will come and possess the body of a Harrison Wells from some Earth and get his vengeance.
No.
So let it be written. Yes. Yes.
And here's why. And here's why. In a recent interview with Greg Berlanti, they were talking about how the timeline has changed and whether or not they plan on restoring everything to how it was at the end of season two. And Greg Berlanti said, no, that's not what's going to happen.
That's not what I'm saying.
No, I get what you're saying. But what I'm saying is because of Barry's change to the timeline, it's fixed now. And we don't even know what happened to that Eobard, honestly. And so I think we can
safely assume that it was fairly similar to what happened to our Eobard because of everything that's been previously stated in terms of, you know, you've been convinced by someone who had my face and, you know, you've been burned twice. Like they've talked about this. I think even one episode they referenced Eobard, the Eobard Harrison Wells specifically.
That's true.
So I think, you know, no, I do think it's safe to say that's the case. You know, in the chat, I think, who did I see? I saw Lieutenant Mindcrime, your co-host for Legends.
Yes, Will.
Yeah. Will in the chat saying, you know, that right now you guys are loving Eobard on Legends of Tomorrow. I'm saying, great, you could technically have your cake and eat it too, because that one still is in play until he goes back in time, right? So you could theoretically have that Eobard, Eoblond, as well as H.G. Eobard existing at the same time if the ghost of Eobard Thawne returns from the Negative Speed Force and inhabits the body of H.R.
Look, here's the thing. There is no Eoblond.
You let me have this.
It's Eobard. Matt Lechter is Eobard Thawne, as far as I'm concerned right now. He is blowing it out of the water. He is doing a fantastic job. H.G. Eobard, I'm sorry, Bo, is dead to me. He was wonderful.
No, he's dead to everybody.
Fantastic.
He can come
back. Yeah, exactly. He's gone. He's gone.
He's
never
back.
Come back. And I mean, he was fantastic. Like, it, you know, that was the best thing about season one, arguably the best season we've had thus far. It was freaking awesome what he did there, but it's done. And Matt Lechter, as far as I'm concerned, has been knocking it out of the park. And I'm on board with Eoblond, as you call him.
I don't say that. Look, hang on now. I want to make something very clear here. I'm not trying to say that Matt's not doing a great job, nor by calling him Eoblond am I necessarily, I'm not trying to like naysay or lessen that performance. I'm just trying to make a distinction because we've seen a couple of variations, you know,
No, I get it.
That's why we got H.G. Eobard.
You're just biased towards
H.G. Eobard. No, H.G. Eobard isn't his name. Eobard is the character's name one way or the other. But you've got two iterations of the character that we've seen, which is the H.G. Eobard of season one, as well as the Eoblond that we're experiencing now. But one of them is dead and the other one is a previous version of that other one.
Yes,
this is why we disassociated
from time because Barry screwed the timeline up. But I think that's what we're going to find out, right? Because at the end of Flash, this is a spoiler for Flashpoint, by the way, the Flashpoint, the comics, and I have no idea this is going to translate into the show at all. So I'm just going to pour warning right now.
I guarantee it won't.
Okay. Well, you know, at the end of Flashpoint in the comics, you know, Eobard gets disassociated from time or something crazy like that, and so he's free to roam however he wants, more or less. And so I feel like that's what happened in Flashpoint in the show when Barry screwed everything up. Eobard takes him back. He's not trapped back in time. Everything is different. So now he's free to run wherever he wants to. And so like that's just how it's going to be now. And so I don't think we're ever going to see Tom Cavanaugh come back as an Eobard Thawne, because Matt's blown it out of the water, and B, because that's just, he doesn't need to anymore. There's going to be no reason for it. And I'm just completely on board with our new Eobard Thawne. And I don't see it happening. I know you want it to happen. And because I would like that to happen just so you could be happy, you know.
you want it for me is what you're saying. That's
I want it for you, but it's not gonna happen.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, this has been way too time travel heavy stuff for this early in the show, so I apologize to the listeners right now for that. let's take a cold turn right there and talk about what's going on with Caitlin, because really, in terms of, like, you know, whose episode this was, it was really very centered around three different people, which is HR, Caitlin, and Julian. And Caitlin in particular, you know, we've been saying from the get-go that we've been looking forward to seeing her start down the dark path. Not because we want terrible things to happen to Caitlin. We love Caitlin, but we know who she is. We know what her destiny is. And man, oh man, like, you know, I was saying even as early as last week, that, you know, I don't see this Caitlin, you know, making kind of a you know, snap, you know, turn immediate into this evil threat. But I got to tell you, I think I may have been wrong. Like, I was freaked out by Caitlin this episode.
Yeah, you know, it seems like the more she uses her powers, the less rational she becomes and the more impulsive she becomes. But I mean, like, let's be honest, when you're in that situation, and you didn't have powers, that's one thing I was tweeting out about it. It's like, it's not a good idea to try and, you know, kidnap or imprison someone who has superpowers, because that's just a bad idea if you don't also have superpowers. But yeah, it's, you know, the more she uses them, the more frightening she becomes.
Seriously. And I mean, like, the eye, like, visually, and like, she slammed her hands down on her mom's desk and freaking froze it, I think, willingly. Like, that wasn't an accident.
I don't think so either. I think that was, you know, she was getting upset, and the more upset she gets, the more emotion that she feels with this power, the more it takes control, and the less rational, the less Caitlin she is, and the more Killer Frost she becomes.
So they even made a comment, right? They had the assistant dude who was helping out, and he was like, you know, no, you got to stay here. You're going to help me so I can get out of this. And she's about to, like, her mom says, I know I didn't raise a killer.
Yeah.
I got to tell you this, though. I did not think it was interesting that her mom said that, because I never thought that Caitlin was actually going to kill him. Like, I don't think that she was even thinking about killing him. And I don't think there was really a threat in the moment that dude was about to die. Now, he may have had one of his limbs frozen off, I'm not going to lie. Like, I was concerned for his overall safety, but I did not think that she was actually in a place where he was going to kill him. Do you think that, Like, did her mom say that to just kind of project, like, evil intentions on her, as parents will sometimes do?
No, it seemed to me a genuine effort for her mom to be like, I am a terrible mother, and my daughter's about to kill somebody, and I didn't, you know, raise a killer, and that's not something. I think what would have happened had Caitlin's mother not stepped in there would be Caitlin would have accidentally killed the guy. Not because she wanted to murder him, not because, you know, of anything like that, just because she wanted to get away and she wanted to stop this guy from trying to harm her. And because she doesn't have control over her powers, because she doesn't know what's going on, and because she's scared that she would inadvertently kill this guy. And so I think that's what her mother saw.
Okay,
her mother saw was, you know, she sees Caitlin, she's scared. This guy's trying to harm her and she's going to react. And she, Dr. Tannhauser, saw how Caitlin reacted when she was in an emotional state by freezing her desk, you know? And so she was worried that maybe what was going to happen is Caitlin was going to lose control and end up killing this guy. And so that's why, you know, Caitlin's mom stepped in and was like, I didn't raise a killer. That's not how you know, we work. We're scientists, we're logical. Don't let your emotions control you and don't kill this guy.
Man. Okay. All right. So that's fair. I hadn't really thought about it from that standpoint, because, I mean, ultimately she seemed to actually have pretty good control, or at least more control than what was implied. You know what I mean? Like, we never actually saw her do anything that she didn't want to do. Like, you're right. Like, it's clear that she could have gone that route, that she could have pushed it too far accidentally, or, you know, perhaps it's like, you know, once the water starts, it's kind of hard to turn it off once the flow's getting out and everything. So I get what you're saying with that. But at the same time, like, do you think that she was trying to suppress anything? Like, she there wasn't like this sense of like trying to hold back. All right. So let's make the obvious comparison, because, you know, everybody who's watching this is, and people in the chat are right now, and surely the writers are doing this to some extent. She's Elsa, right? And from Frozen. You have watched Frozen, right?
No, I have not watched Frozen. I have never even heard the entirety of the Let It Go song. I have avoided it like the plague.
You've never watched Frozen?
I've never seen Frozen.
Now don't get me wrong. I don't
have children. I think the last Disney movie that I saw, what was the one that came, the last Disney animated movie? Oh, I mean Shrek. That's DreamWorks though. Was probably what came out right before Hercules?
You never saw Hercules?
I never saw Hercules.
Have you? You've seen it now?
I've seen bits and pieces of it.
You've never seen Belle? Look, I'm not like a Disney fanboy or anything, but they're Hercules, while absolutely nothing. I mean, it's one of these things. When I first watched it, I hated it because I was kind of like a mythology buff, Greek mythology buff, and like,
yeah.
I hated like the take they did on it. But like going back and rewatching it a couple of years later, when you know I don't have as much of a chip on my shoulder about it, like it's a good movie. Like it's specifically a classic American superhero movie told through a Greek mythology lens, which is interesting because American hero novels are kind of Greek mythology told through a, you know, American hero lens. So it's kind of a flip of the American, like once you get that and look at it through that perspective, it kind of reopens up the movie to you and you get able to see it in a different light. Hercules is fantastic. Frozen, I realize you're not a 10-year-old girl, but Frozen is like the best movie that Disney has come out with since like Lion King.
Really? So here's the thing. When Frozen came out, like I have five nieces and nephews, and when Frozen came out, are you playing Let It Go?
I am playing Let It Go. You said you've never.
This will be the first time I've heard the song in its entirety. I'll just tell you that right now. But yeah, you know, my nieces and nephews. You know, when it came out, you know, my sister was already living halfway across the country, so you know, I wasn't doing like, you know, the babysitting or being able to see them very frequently. So I'm sure, had you know, they've been closer and I've been able to visit more often, I would have totally have seen that movie numerous times. But on this particular instance, I just never saw it because I never really had a reason to. I was like, you know, Frozen, whatever, and it's not my bag.
You need to listen to what she's saying.
Let them okay. See.
Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know.
She's using her powers.
Let it go. Can't hold you back anymore. Let it go. Let it go. Turn away and slam the door. I don't care what they're going to say. Let the storm rage on. Cold never bothered me anyway.
All right, so what you need to understand about the character of Elsa, man, is that, like, she's
suffering from mental illness.
No. All right.
She's being antisocial.
All right, but seriously, man, what you need to understand about the character of Elsa to understand, to some extent, what's going on with Caitlin, because they are taking her on a bit of an Elsa journey here in terms of kind of parental, you know, parental issues leading to kind of a life of repression and now being, you know, getting in a point where she's got this power and she doesn't know how to control it. And so she just wants to let it go. Now, the reason why I make reference to that is because in the original script for Frozen, Elsa was a villain. She was a supervillain. Like in that was kind of the arc, the evil queen that she was going to end up becoming. And it was actually because of the power ballad that was Let It Go that they completely rewrote the script, making her a heroic and sympathetic character into everything that was going on.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean there's kind of an interesting twist there, but obviously we're dealing with the character. She's got all of this power in her. I would argue that she even had this before Flashpoint. It just hadn't activated itself yet. And in a post-Flashpoint or on this side of the timeline, you know, the powers are active. She's trying to figure out how to deal with it. She is going to her mom. And, you know, the powers are very much tied to her emotion. And so when I was talking about how, you know, you never really necessarily see her trying to hold back, in Frozen, when Elsa tries to hold back, like, the power ends up, like, taking an aggressive, what's a good way to say it?
like it embodies like aggressive light around it. So there's kind of this visual nod to the fact that her powers are taking a darker tone. Ice sickles are like jagged, like sharp knives kind of coming towards her, as opposed to when she's doing it because she wants to or for fun reasons, in which case it's all kind of light and fluffy and, you know, making kind of snowmen and that sort of thing. And so I'm thinking that there's a, it's easy to look at it and say that the power is corrupting her. But what I would say is that what's going on here, much like in Frozen, is that when she is corrupted by her own fear, like that's when the power itself becomes corrupted. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So when her emotions run high and when the emotions are bad emotions like fear and anger, then the power becomes a darker power.
Exactly. Exactly. So she's dealing with, you know, she's dealing with her mom, which she already has a lot of like pent up aggression towards. And, you know, she's dealing with a lot of fear. And so like, you know, when she slams her hand down on the thing, that's when it kind of sprawls out. Right. When, and as you mentioned, yeah, like when she's attacking the dude, she's not necessarily trying to kill him, but because of the way the faucet is already on, the power is already coming out. It's not that the power is corrupting her. And I think that it's easy to look at these storylines and assume that that's the case. Like that it's the power that's evil, or now that she has this power, she's becoming evil. But no, it's the fact that she's letting her emotions determine, like the emotions are affecting the power and not the other way around. So
what would you have done if, like, when he's sitting there on the ground and Caitlin's about to kill the guy, if Caitlin's mom came in with like a black robe on, she's like, good, good. Yes. Let the hate flow through you.
Well, I would, you know me, I'd want it to be snart, but yes, that would be hilarious. Yeah. That moment could still come. But yeah, I loved that we were starting to see, you know, this darker side of Caitlin come out. And I'm shocked that they were able to do it so well in such a short amount of time, because I literally thought it was going to take like several episodes for us to get to this place. But no, man, she delivered. I was there. I was right there with her.
Well, it was really neat too, because they did a good job with it, like you said, because when Caitlin's mom, she's real cold, and, you know, pun intended there, she's not showing a lot of emotion to her daughter, and she's not really understanding, and she, you know, she's not on an emotional level connecting with her daughter or anything like that, right? But it's when she finally does show her emotional side, that's what brings, like when her mother is cold and heartless to Caitlin, it just makes her powers worse.
Right.
But when her mother shows that emotion, it helps Caitlin rein in her own emotions and push those powers back, which I thought was a really nice dichotomy there. So like, you know, when Caitlin's mom was cold, Caitlin was bad. But when Caitlin's emotions came forward, but when Caitlin's mom was emotional, Caitlin's emotions kind of dimmed down. So they're like reverse of one another. Reverse Killer Frost.
Oh, snap.
No, that's not going to
happen. Well, I love what they're doing.
Maybe that's who H.G. Abard will possess, is Caitlin's mom.
Hey. Could happen. Could happen.
Yeah.
So love what they're doing with Caitlin, man. Glad to. I'm probably, in terms of everything that's going on, I'm really, really stoked to see where that goes. Something else I really loved is the development of Julian. Now, Julian, of course, the detective that Barry, we get a chance to kind of see the fact they're still not getting along. Julian kind of does this whole thing like, oh, what? You want me to cry about my story about metahumans and why I don't like them? And now we're going to be friends. And then, of course, later on in the episode, he cries about his feelings about metahumans and become friends. So great. I loved how they set that up. I thought that was done really well.
Yeah. What is Malfoy's name?
Just Malfoy.
I feel like it's disrespectful to like not reference the actor's name.
He's not listening. He's not listening.
Yeah, you're right. Anyway, Julian, like, he did such a good job. Like, you can look at it in his face when he's regaling that story. Like, you know, he's not crying. So, but he's super emotional. And, like, he's on the verge of it. And like, it's really cool seeing you know, an actor with his chops on there. And do like a really good job conveying those emotions and whatnot. But yeah, I totally got the whole, you know, do we just become best friends vibe after his story, which I thought was cool, because like, there's only so long you can take these guys, you know, butting heads and being jerks to one another.
I like them butting heads though. Like, that's the one thing. Like, I thought he was a really good foil for Barry.
He was, but at the same time, though, there's got to be some kind of reason as to why.
They can't all be likable, man. Like that's the thing. Like, you can't have just all lovable characters. You gotta have somebody who's just kind of a, you know, jackass.
Well, that doesn't mean, just because, you know, that they came to some kind of, you know, terms about metahumans doesn't mean that Julian's not going to be a jerk.
They went to get beers together.
Yeah, but he still could be, because that's the thing, right? Is because Julian still thinks he's better than Barry, and I could still see some antagonistic, you know, kind of like how Sisko and Barry are sort of playful, you know, but they're not like, they're still friends, but they're not like antagonistically playful. This could be like an antagonistic playful where, you know, Julian makes fun of Barry, but in a friendly manner, but it's still like, you did it wrong and I'm going to make fun of you, but I don't hate you, but you still did it wrong. And I'm going to make fun of you for it.
By the way, what is Sisko getting paid? Cause that freaking like apartment that he's living in is awesome.
Yeah, and if I had a pad that awesome and I had Barry like hanging out all the time, I'd be like, dude,
do my laundry.
You need to find your own place.
Oh, no. I would keep him around, man. Are you kidding me? Do my laundry. Yes. Make my breakfast. Yes. I do like to butter my own toast as well, but still you can make that work for you. But like, I want to get back to this. What is Sisko getting paid? Because like, for one thing, who's paying their salaries? Like, they're all living, like, you know what I mean?
That's what I was going to say. More importantly, not how much does he get paid? How does he get paid?
Yeah, Eobard was the one that was writing the checks, and he's gone now.
And Star Labs, you know, is it grant money?
I guess it's got to be grant money. It's got to be, but like, they have just like a ton of grant money, and I guess Barry's in charge of it, right? Because Eobard gave Barry Star Labs before he died, or before, you know, things went down. And so is Barry like just writing the checks when it's all said and done? And why is he paying Sisko so much that Sisko can afford to live there, but he's not paying himself enough that he can go and get a nice place?
Yeah, that's what I don't know. Maybe Sisko's independently wealthy because his family's really rich.
Yeah. I guess that's a good point. That's a good point.
Yes, Sisko's family's rich because that's the thing. It's like, what does Star Labs produce? Like, how do they make money? That's what I don't know.
I mean, there's not a whole lot of money. They're not heroes for hire. So they're not.
It's patents.
It's got to be patents.
They're licensing patents. That's how they make all of their money.
One of Pineapple's like, they got that Grant Gustin money. wait till season six. Wait till season six. That's when you get that Grant Gustin money. You know, everybody else is saying like, oh, I might want to walk away. And like, no, pay him the big bucks. Grant Gustin, got to keep him.
Yeah, six seasons in a movie.
Hey, make it happen. But yeah, no.
I wish they would do a TV Flash movie. That'd be cool.
I forgot about the Sisko, that his family was wealthy. Okay, all right. Well, it did reopen the thought of like, wait a minute, how much is he getting paid? Wait, who's paying these people? How is this working? How are the lights staying on in Star Labs? You don't think about it until, you know, you walk into Sisko's deluxe pad that, you know, it's DC TV Cribs. That's what I want to see. I want to know how everybody's living.
Yeah, for real.
Iris got some great moments with Iris. Glad to see that, you know, she had that one great line where the monster was attacking and she was pulling, you know, helping people out of the bus. And Barry's like, what are you doing here? It's like, yeah, you don't need to be wearing a red suit to go and help people, Barry.
Like, yeah, I love that. I love that this Iris is just a go-getter and that she's, you know, she's as much a hero as anybody else, even without powers. I think that's super cool to build, you know, build her character. And I totally appreciate it. I want to see more of that. Like, I want to see, I think it would be hilarious if, you know, she shows up to a scene before Barry gets there and she's already helping people, which is kind of what happened this time.
And she's done it before. She did that at the one where Barry had to like run up the side of the building to catch her, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, like, what did he say? He was like, what are you doing here? She's like, I'm on a story. It's like, come on, Barry, this is my job. This is literally what I do. How do you not know this? But it's
like, you might be able to pay your people from like patent money and whatever else you do, but like, I have to work. Okay?
I'm not getting that Star Labs money.
I ain't got that Grant Gustin money. Okay.
That's right. Y'all pay Candace right. All right. We don't want any, we want to make sure that Candace is getting taken care of.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
All right. Y'all pay her right. We know how you people do in Hollywood
and treat her right. Treat your Iris right.
I think that's good.
Anyone? That's the Mr. T mother song.
Get the Iris money. That's what you want. That's what you want.
No one got my Mr. T reference?
Nope, not a person. As I'm thinking through the characters, all of like the characters that we typically run through kind of quickly are the ones that were the primary characters in this episode. And maybe that's why this episode got a little bit of flack for being a bit slower, is because it focused on characters that haven't had a lot of chances to, you know, get fleshed out with HR being a new character. Caitlin, who, let's face it, she was benched for a lot of season two and most of season one.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And so like finally we get her, you know, a good kind of focus on her and specifically her doing what it is she needs to be doing, which is going down this dark path. And so, you know, from that standpoint, some of the more, you know, the characters that are a bit more front and center, like Barry, like Iris, like Cisco, you know, they were taking a little bit more of a back seat here. We did get a villain that also did not necessarily take away from what was going on. We didn't need an origin story for a giant monster, especially when we find out, of course, it's just a massive hologram. And I gotta say, man, I love the fact that we're continuing this, you know, weird super science of just being able to project holograms from satellites because science.
Well, you know, we did get a backstory for this quote super villain.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, I get you. It wasn't like, you know, an enhanced, you know, deep detailed anything. But like, here's the deal, right? You're a kid, you're getting bullied in school. It sucks, okay? You know, it's terrible. No one should do that kind of stuff. But if you have a mind like that kid does to make holographic technology like that, sell it and buy friends.
Well, and we got a great Joe moment, actually, with this kid.
That's true.
Money can't buy friends. But we did get a great Joe moment with this kid when he's like, look, you screwed up. And you're going to have consequences for this, but at the same time, you're young and you'll be able to work through this. Like, I was like, man, that's a solid Joe moment right there. You know what I mean? Like that's some hard truth mixed with some hope.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because, on Halloween, I was actually watching Rob Zombie's new Halloween with my roommate. And there's kind of a similar moment there where, you know, at the beginning of Halloween, Michael Myers kills, most of his family. And he's sitting there talking to his psychiatrist and he's like, I want to go home. And he's like, you know, psychiatrist, you see him break. And he's like, you can't, you know, you've done horrible things. And, you know, I'm sorry about that. And it felt like a similar kind of thing where Joe's like, you know, it's you've done bad things, but you know what? You didn't kill anybody. So that's good. But, you know, this is something that we can work through that you can grow from. So it was really neat to kind of to see Papa Joe, because we hadn't had a lot of Papa Joe moments this season, have we? It doesn't feel like we have.
Well, you know, he's really – Barry's really more like a daughter to him these days.
That is true.
But you're right. I mean, like so far that – but part of that has been we've been very much in kind of high adventure mode.
That's true. Yeah. It's been very, very high adventure. And plus, Papa Joe has fixed a lot of the issues with Wally, you know, with Barry. So there's got to be new people for him to Papa Joe on.
We've got a lot of saved up Joe moments or Joe-ments that are waiting in the wings. I mean, with what we've seen in the previews for the next episode, you know, Wally's been kind of benched. I mean, he's been benched really since he's been on the show for the most part, except for, of course, the premiere of this season. So, you know, I think he's about to get in the game a little bit more. And along with that is going to come some solid Joe moments. Joe is going to have to bust out the good stuff. I think Wally's going to provide a challenge for him that he has not had to face. You know, of course, Iris and Barry are their own unique challenges, but neither one of them have been suffering from this desire to get superpowers and go so far as to almost kill themselves over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like stepping out in front of cars. Not a good idea. I tried that the other day. Didn't work. My legs are broken now.
That'll do it. That'll happen.
Kids, do not jump in traffic trying to get Speed Force powers. It will not happen. I don't care if you got hit by dark matter. It's not going to happen. The Green Arrow in the chat brings up a very valid point. Captain Singh is back.
Oh, Fear the Beard.
Fear the Beard.
Fear the Beard. Captain Singh is back, if only for a brief moment. So glad that he survived the. What happened to the other Captain Singh? Like, did he never get born or something? Like, what happened there?
Wait, which one?
Well, I mean, not Captain Singh, but his replacement in Flashpoint.
Oh,
is that guy alive? Oh my gosh, he's Alchemy.
He's Alchemy.
He's Alchemy.
He was so mad that when the timeline got reset that he wasn't a captain anymore, that he's like, I'm gonna mess Barry up because I like to be in a police captain.
Well, of course, he was Alchemy in that universe as well. Timeline.
Shut up.
I'm just saying.
Shut up.
All right, look. Captain Singh's back. Love to see Captain Singh. Patch Sabongi. Fear the Beard. Hashtag Fear the Beard. Show him some love on Twitter. If you're not following him, you should do that. that's kind of what happened this episode. But there is something that was referenced this episode that I think deserves a little deliberation. And that's going to bring us to
Speedster Speculation.
HR keeps on making reference back on his Earth that he has a partner.
Yes.
You know, I compared him to Steve Jobs, albeit a much more useless Steve Jobs. But every Steve Jobs must have his Wozniak. And that I think is what we're being painted a picture of here, right? That if we are to believe what he says, which I realize, Bell, you don't fully believe what he says, but one way or the other, he does reference somebody very specifically back on his Earth. Bell, who do you think this partner of HR is? Who do you think that could be?
Barry Allen.
Oh, really? You don't think the Flash of his Earth is Barry Allen?
Oh, no, that's right. He does say there's a Flash on his Earth.
But he never clarifies that it's Barry Allen. We got a Flash on one Earth that's Jay Garrick. We got a Flash on another Earth that's another Jay Garrick, although the real Jay Garrick, you know, it could be anybody. We've yet to actually see another Earth. We've never experienced an Earth with another Barry Allen Flash.
It could be a Wally West Flash.
Yeah, that's also very true.
Because, I mean, that's the thing. You know, this show does it a little bit, but they don't really touch on why. You know, because Barry's a genius. Like, Batman refers to him as the second greatest detective on Earth.
That's true.
Barry's very, very smart. He created Gideon. And sometimes the decisions that he makes on the show kind of makes me question that.
Well, he's smart, but impulsive, right? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. This Barry Allen, he is smart. I mean, I hope at some point we'll get a return of like the Sherlock thing that he did in the premiere.
Yeah. That was really cool. I like that.
It would be interesting to get back to more of the detective mindset of what he's doing. You know, but a lot of what he has been doing right now has been about figuring out the timeline, figuring out his powers, figuring out, you know, what does it mean to be a hero? What does it mean to have this team of heroes? What does it mean to deal with metahumans? But it would be cool to get a mystery that required him to kind of dig back into that. I'm feeling you there. But man, back to the question, who do you think is HR's partner back on Earth 19?
Because, you know, there's that whole thing where in the first season, Wells was Barry's idol. And, you know, all he wanted to do was meet him. He's reading his book and all this kind of stuff. And I don't know, maybe it's something where, you know, Barry gets to work. Maybe there's like this kind of idol relationship and, you know, Barry's working for him, implementing all of his ideas. I don't know.
So you're sticking with that. Let me ask you this. And chat room, help out here as well. Have we ever actually met Ted Kord in the DC TV universe?
I want to say they've mentioned his name.
No, he's been Kord Enterprises has been referenced several times, but I'm trying to think if we've ever actually met him in the DC TV universe or seen him in any regard there. Hang on. I'm going to do a quick Google search here. I think it could be Ted Kord. Like, as you've mentioned, he's been referenced several times. We're getting confirmation in the chat that we've never actually seen him. But I was trying to think who could, you know, if they go DC Comics, like if they go to the comics, to the source material for pulling out some names, and they have done that in the past, they are really good about like digging in and finding different characters. If they're going to have a character, they tend to pull somebody from the source material. So I was trying to think, okay, if Harrison Wells or if HR is the pseudo, you know, Steve Jobs, who would be his Wozniak and who would be a good Wozniak type of character from the comics? And the only person, or at least the one that kind of jumps to mind initially, is Ted Kord.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, that's the thing, though. We haven't seen anybody being cast for that, have we?
Well, and that's the thing. Maybe it's going to be, you know, a surprise later on. Like it may be a situation where, you know, when we lose HR, when he goes back to his Earth, it may be his partner coming to get him, and we could see, you know, potentially whomever that may be. I think that person is going to play. Like, I'm not saying that it's alchemy. I don't know that it's like that kind of tie or anything like that. But I do think that this is an opportunity to perhaps introduce a character like a Blue Beetle or somebody of that nature. I hadn't thought about the fact that it could be a Barry Allen and perhaps they've got a reverse role on their Earth. That would be kind of interesting.
Well, with doppelgangers, you know, because that's the thing, right? When you cast somebody for a role, it's kind of like a big spoiler. But with doppelgangers, anybody on the cast could play any role from any other Earth and you can keep it a secret a whole lot easier. Because it's the same actor playing it, you don't have to, you know, do casting announcements. No, nobody's going to find the announcement for the cast, all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I don't know. But if I had to guess, I would think it's going to be somebody on Team Flash, but just like, you know, a doppelganger there. So like my guess would be Barry, just because I think it would be cool to see that scientific side of Barry come through and actually, you know, we get to see his genius and whatnot. But honestly, I'm just kind of pulling that out of nowhere, because I think that would just be neat to see. But Ted Kord could make sense. Like, you know, Blue Beetle comes through and pulls him back. It's like, dude, I need you to come up with ideas, because even though I'm a genius and can implement stuff, I can't think of things. It's kind of weird.
And I'm just kind of throwing this out there. You know, Blue Beetle was the source material. He was the inspiration for Owlman, or I'm sorry, Night Owl from Watchmen.
Really?
Well, the second one. Yeah. Night Owl 2, the primary character of that graphic novel.
Huh?
Yeah, so and we know, you know, if you're paying attention to what's going on in DC Comics, or even if you're just aware of, you know, who owns what in that space, you know, they do own the rights to that character, and they could theoretically, you know, their HR could be from a Watchmen type of world.
That would be neat.
Probably not, but I mean, like, you know, but it could be somebody like that.
Dr. Manhattan.
Could have a Dr. Manhattan.
That's who it is.
Maybe HR is Dr. I'm sorry, I couldn't even get it out.
No. No, that ain't happening.
All right, fair enough. Well, maybe that was kind of a weak speculation. I thought that'd be kind of interesting, but I guess not.
I don't think it's going to be that pertinent to the rest of the series, or the rest of the season.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? When I was thinking through, like, what could the speculation this week be? Like, right now, there's not, you know, Alchemy hasn't been making a lot of moves. Like, we know that he's out there, but it's not, he's not yet been that compelling of a villain for us to need to speculate about who he is, what his desires are. We don't know anything about him, like literally, or her. I mean, all we know about Alchemy is that they're out there. They are doing something with, you know, there's some sort of connection with kind of the time change, and that's about it. We don't know what their motivation is. We don't know, you know, who they know or what they know, and we don't know what they want. Like, we don't know what their end game is fully. So there's not a whole lot of speculation at this point that we can really do about Alchemy, or that I'm really, you know, I'm kind of cool with Alchemy being out there, but they just haven't driven that character to be crucial right now.
Right.
It's a bit of a lighter episode in terms of, you know, kind of taking a step back, focusing on some more of the supporting, or some characters that haven't had a lot of chance to get a lot of focus on them. You know, I figure we'll do a little bit more of some lighter speculation to go along with this particular episode.
Well, if you were caught up with Legends of Tomorrow, there would be some awesome speculation we could talk about that we talked about on Legends TV Talk last week. The cliffhanger at the end of that episode was something just totally cool and totally relates to this podcast. But since you hadn't seen it, I'm not going to spoil it, nor are we going to talk about it, because I'm super excited to see what's going to happen tomorrow on the show. And hopefully they'll reference what I'm talking about.
Well, okay. So let me ask you this, without spoiling anything, does it have anything to do with either Captain Cold potentially coming back or the ghost of Eobard Thawne?
No.
Then I don't care. All right. We've got some great listener feedback, but first we want to tell you about sponsor for this week's show. And that is the good folks at Bean Fruit Coffee. You like coffee? You want HR to pop in and bring you some wonderful lox and bagels? I know I do. I would love to wake up to lox and bagels every single morning, but I can't. But you know what I can wake up to every single morning? Good fresh cup of coffee from Bean Fruit Coffee. They've got some awesome, awesome roasts there, stuff that you're not going to find anywhere else. Really quality stuff, too. And if you use the code PODCAST, you get 5% off at checkout, beanfruit.com. Do it today, because when you do it, you help out this show and make it happen, as well as make your morning just a little bit tastier.
Hey, this is Patrick Sabongi, and you're listening to Flash TV Talk.
That's the sound of the police in my hood!
Listener feedback. We got a Facebook message in from Brian Bettany, who said, Caitlin's fear of her powers instead of embracing them. And then he links to a video of Yoda saying, fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering.
Yeah, Brian, see, that's exactly what I was saying last episode is, you know, like, her emotional state is going to deeply affect how she travels to the dark side.
We also got another Facebook message in from Ross. What did Ross have to say about this episode?
Well, Ross writes, I thought the episode was kind of rushed. They focus more on the Barry Julian storyline than anything else. The B plot of Caitlin visiting her mother was overshadowed by the random attack by the lab assistant. They could have easily stretched this plot line for a couple episodes, and I think they're rushing Caitlin's transformation into Killer Frost, as Kevin Smith's episode is only 2 weeks away. The monster, quote unquote, seemed out of place in the show, especially when it's revealed to be a hologram that's made by a bully genius. I think it would have made more sense if the monster was a boy who transformed when he was threatened. H.R. Wells, the sci-fi romance novelist. Ha! Also, did you notice how blasé Barry is about Flashpoint now? Barry says, quote, I'm saying before 2 weeks ago, Julian didn't even exist. And then Joe says, because of your Flashpoint. And Barry says, I know it's because of Flashpoint. Next week's episode, Shade, do you think has anything to do with the villain, the Shade? What do we think? Plus, Wally starts to have memories of Flashpoint. Looking forward to the next weeks. Thanks, guys. Ross.
Yeah. We didn't really focus as much on Barry just because obviously the focus wasn't as much on him this episode. But he had some great moments with, I always wanted to be a Jedi doing the AT-AT thing, which they say AT-AT. Do you say AT-AT or AT-AT?
I say AT-AT.
I wonder if that's like a regional thing, like different regions of the country or the world, you might say AT-AT versus AT-AT.
Well, if there's a lowercase T, then I'd probably say AT-AT. But since it's capital, I usually pronounce the letter.
Yeah, exactly. Like, right.
And it's an acronym, too.
Well, then you have the AT-AT and the AT-ST. You don't say AT-ST. You know what I mean?
AT-ST.
Makes no sense whatsoever. It's AT. It's AT-AT. I don't know.
Consistency is important.
Argue anybody on that. He had some great moments in there. And actually the whole because of Flashpoint, I actually kind of liked the blasé attitude he has at this point. Cause it's like, he knows he can't go back and do anything about it. So he's just got to, it's more of like, yep, screwed up. I know.
It's kind of like the, the multipass scene from Fifth Element where Bruce Willis is like, she knows it's a multipass. Barry's like, I know I screwed up. I know it's because of Flashpoint.
Oh man. We also got a great iTunes review in from T Budman. He says the Flash is speed. All right. So T Budman says, great podcast. These two substitute nuts are fabulous. Oh, I guess that was from the episode where I was gone.
Yes.
Okay. He says it was like hearing cats. Herding cats with them around, completely bonkers. And then he goes into a paragraph worth of a question about the speed involving math that I will let you follow up with him separately, Bell.
Dude, T-Bud man, holy crap. Like reading your comments, just a man after my own heart. Like that was, yes, that is exactly what I do every single episode. I sit there and I look at examples of like speed. And I'm like, no. If he's only going Mach 2 or Mach 3 or something like that, there's no way that he's traveling. You know, I've said it multiple times before during the premiere. This is the second Weather Wizard episode. He sees the bolt of lightning come through the car and it's traveling extremely slowly. Lightning travels at 200 and something thousand miles an hour. And for Barry to see it move so slowly, then he's got to be moving exceptionally fast. Now, I think these are under certain, special circumstances. I think that's what T-Bud Man writes as well, that these are, maybe it's a consistent speed that Barry can reach these Mach values that they list in the show. But he has gone much faster than that, as evidenced by, math and extrapolating distances and things like that. So I read that entire paragraph and I had to fan myself.
I do declare.
Oh my word.
All right. Like this is what you need to understand. Here at Flash TV Talk headquarters, when Belle and I get together and watch the show in the exact same room, we have on either side of the room two giant boards filled, like two giant whiteboards filled with things. Belle has his whiteboard that is all filled with mathematics as he is calculating the science behind everything that is possibly being stated on the screen, the hashtag OMG science. I, on the other hand, have lines and circles and post-it notes as I am trying to understand and make sense of the rules of time travel as it exists. Between the two of us, we are trying to work the math and science and speed force for you. That is our job. That is why we exist. This is why we put our voices on the internet. It's not because you like the sound of our voices. We all know you hate it, but we try to help you out where we can. T-Bud Man, I'm glad that you and Belle have just become best friends. That's awesome.
Did we just become best friends? Yup. Do you want to go do math in the garage? Yup.
You guys are totally math bros. I'm loving it. By the way, tell your friends about this show. If you do enjoy listening to the podcast, we hope that you tell your friends as you're talking on Flash forums or Flash message boards or Flash groups, wherever you may be, let them know about the Flash TV Talk podcast. If people are looking for a fun place to talk about the show, to get into, the time travel and science of it, but also the relationships and just having a good time. Let's get some more folks tuning in. We'd love to have them join the community, ever growing community, talking Flash with us here, Flash TV Talk. You can of course follow us on Twitter. You can follow Bell and I at any time on our personal accounts. You can follow Bell at Ring That Bell. You can follow me at The Real Bo York. You can also follow the show at Flash TV Talk.
But if 140 characters isn't enough to express your love for our show, feel free to email us at flash@podastery.com. That's podastery.com.
And for the latest news and daily discussions on all things Flash, be sure to like our Facebook page at facebook.com/FlashTVTalk.
Special thanks as always to Charlie Bach, who provides our outro music. You can see all of his music and listen to it at soundcloud.com/Charlie Bach.
Be sure to show us some love by heading over to iTunes and writing us a review. Every single time we get a review of 10 reviews. Every single time we get a multiple of 10 in terms of reviews, we love to give away free digital comics. It could be you. So head over to iTunes, write us that review. Don't forget that this coming weekend is daylight savings time. So please don't forget to turn back time so that you don't miss the episode of The Flash in the following weeks. We want to make sure that you're taken care of there. Just make sure.
I'm so glad you put that in there.
It's got to be in there. It's got to be in there. Actually, we've gotten a lot of tweets and Facebook messages with Cher about turning back time this weekend. So we've opened the Cher floodgates. Okay, it's happened.
Yeah.
You know, what
if we get remembered for anything, it's going to be for Cher TV Talk, that one episode.
Hashtag Cher TV, like make it happen, fund it.
Yeah.
I tell you, no, never mind. I'm not going to commit to that. Yes. Yes, indeed. So again, iTunes reviews, be sure to do that. And until next time, guys, actually, we should also mention next week here in the United States, we have our election. Chances are this has been such a ridiculous political cycle that even if you're not in the United States, you're well aware of that fact. Here's the thing. We will not have a new episode of The Flash coming next week, which means we will not have a new episode of Flash TV Talk coming next week. But we do encourage you to check out next week, Panel to Screen, where we will have a review of Doctor Strange, which is coming out this weekend. So if you are interested in that, or if you just want to hang out with Belle and I for a week and talk about something other than Flash, Panel to Screen is the place to do it. But until next time, guys, we'll be back in a flash.